Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Standing in the way of sinners. Standing in the way of sinners. Psalms chapter 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That would mean anyone who's not speaking the word of God, and purely the word of God. I am so tired of people speaking for God using other words other than His words. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak for God, let him speak as of the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. Also, the Lord told the prophet Ezekiel, quote, speak with my words unto them. Speak with my words unto them. Ezekiel 3 verse 4. The Bible is clear in Proverbs 4:4, it says, let thine heart retain my words. Let thine heart retain my words. The only way that you and I are going to be able to speak the words of God is to retain or to memorize the word of God. And until then, my friend, we need to shut our mouths. Yeah, you heard me. You, me, and anyone else who is pretending to speak for God, but yet not memorizing scripture and just speaking and reading straight from the Holy Scriptures needs to shut up, lest the judgment of God come upon you now and in eternity, because you are misrepresenting the Lord by arrogantly feigning to believe that your wisdom and your words are greater than His words. You have no clue just how darkened your heart is that if that's where you find yourself. You know, I had a long conversation with a sincere pastor, and I guess he calls himself a PhD because he's got a degree of some sort. This is a little bit of a joke, but it's very true, and I'll use it. PhD really refers to piled higher and deeper, and we're talking about manure, if you will. That would be the best way to describe PhD. This guy, when I shared with him that we need to memorize more scripture, I was talking to him in the context of ceasing to listen to church history and study all this foolishness and go back to the divinely authenticated Holy Scriptures, you see, which is the rule and the order for all who truly follow Christ, not delving into the lives and the history of people who came after Jesus and the apostles. That's a waste of time. Absolutely, for the most part, a complete waste of time. And I've met few, if ever met anybody, who actually knows the scriptures well, who's embarking on studying church history. That's a total rabbit trail of Satan to get people off of the narrow road, off of the holy truth of the Lord. The Bible says the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. A lamp unto our feet, the word of God, and a light unto our path. The word of God is not church history that can be twisted in any direction that someone might choose to twist it. And it's very unprofitable, especially in light of the neglect of the Holy Scriptures and learning and memorizing them. Isaiah 8:20 actually says, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is verse 16 right before that in Isaiah chapter 8, which tells us to seal the law among my disciples. The verse says, this is Isaiah 8:16, bind up the testimony. See, that's a big part of what true fellowship that glorifies God is all about, is getting in the Word, provoking one another to learn the Holy Scriptures. It's amazing how people can memorize and learn all kinds of stuff. You know, they go get a four-year degree, they learn all the quarterbacks or baseball or basketball players very easily. Why? Because that's what they desire. They don't desire God. If they're even saved in the first place, they've backslidden, they're lost. Christ. They no longer know the Lord. They've fallen away. They're apostate. They've departed from the faith. They have no desire for more of Christ. He's just someone they're using, so they think, to get them out of hell. And yet they have no intention of really serving, knowing, seeking, and learning him. That is a counterfeit. That's a tear, beloved. That's the fruit of someone who is departed from the Lord, alienated from the life of Christ. But those that love the Lord, they're like the early church. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the scriptures, the word of God, that which Jesus taught and gave to his apostles, which is now recorded in the format of the Bible, the 66 glorious books of the scriptures, including the prophets, the Old Testament, and also the Lord Jesus's words as recorded by the gospel writers, the four gospels writers, and then also the apostles. The Bible tells us holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter 1 verse 20 and 21. The apostle Paul said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Hallelujah. Sound doctrine only comes from the Holy Scriptures and is the Holy Scriptures and what they teach. We should ask ourselves and others often the question, what saith the Scriptures? What saith the Scriptures? You know, God says that people like the Berean believers who search the Scriptures daily to see whether or not those things Paul taught were true or false, they were more noble. And God wants us to be noble. When God says you're noble, you're in a good place. And we see that in Acts 17:11. And let me ask you something, friend. Have you memorized that scripture? I want you to write that down on an index card and with the reference and the actual verse from the King James Bible, Acts 17:11, and memorize it and live that truth. Take to task every teaching that you ever hear and weigh it in light of scripture by daily searching the scriptures. That is nobility before God. Acts 17:11, to search the scriptures daily and compare what others are teaching to the word of God. If it's false, there needs to be correction. There needs to be, and if those people won't repent, then go ahead and reject them. According to Titus 3 verse 10, a heretic after the first or second admonition reject. We're to reprove and rebuke and with all long suffering and doctrine. And exhort. You know, we have to have long suffering in it, but he even qualifies that in Titus 3:11. He says, after the first or second admonition, after you've lovingly, kindly visited someone about an error, and make sure that you have the truth of the scriptures before you even approach them, and they won't repent, then they have to be rejected. They have to be. Preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2 through 4. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Just preach the word. That's it. Nothing but prove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables or stories. So many today love these mega churches and these false churches, almost all of which have Sunday and Saturday meeting places, are completely apostate. They love to have it so. They love their ease. They love the soft message that never brings a word of conviction, never speaks about sin. And when it speaks about the things that God calls sin, they call it mistakes and, well, I just messed up. They refuse to even call it sin. They call adultery. They call what God says is adultery an affair. They call what God calls fornication, sexual immorality, like the new versions, or some dumbed down term. They call sodomy homosexuality and, you know, alternate lifestyle. See, they're of the world, although they occupy a seat or a pew in what we call a church building, which is nothing more than a entertainment in house of ease and religion and just filling the mind with mindless psychobabble and false notions and philosophies. You know, I went to a meeting. I was invited to go to a home group meeting that a local church around here has. And, you know, through 3 hours of sitting around talking with about 10 members of this particular church, I didn't hear not one scripture quoted. I mean, not one. Yet so much philosophizing, so many New Age principles, you know, the law of attraction and all this filth, luciferic filth, but not one. not one scripture ever mentioned. And that calls itself the church. That's not an expression of the true church. That's completely false. That's nothing more than a social club, a country club, if you will. Back to the first point here. You and I need to stop talking off the top of our heads. If you don't have a scripture ready to make your point, don't bother. Shut your mouth. Die to yourself. That is a rebuke from the Word of God and from your brother. Die to yourself. Get rid of all you, well, I thinks. Nobody cares what you think. What I think doesn't matter. What you think doesn't matter. Unless what you think is strictly the Word of God. You and I need to take the stand with both feet that Paul took and espoused and was possessed with. Romans 3:4. Let God be true and every man a liar. That begins with you and I, that man, if you will, being a liar. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know them? So we need not to rely on what we think. That doesn't matter. Conform all your thinking to the Word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let me stop here to say this. If you are in a ministry or a fellowship or a church of any type, and the person or people that are leading are not getting you into the Word of God, you need to run for your life. They are beguilers. They are deceivers. They are wolves. They don't care if you know God for yourself. They only care that you patronize their stupid little ministry. It's the self-serving wolf that does such a thing. They leave people truthless and to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Even if they were teaching just scripture, which is almost unheard of nowadays, they're still hurting you by not provoking you as the scriptures do over and over to get you into the Word of God, because you're only meeting a few times a week or one time a week. What about the other seven? Jesus said if you're going to walk with Him, you're going to follow Him, you're going to do it daily or you're not doing it at all. There are Sunday mornings when I sit in my bed at home and study the Word of God, the Scriptures, and get into the Word. Oh, man, you talk about nourishing. Now, I do that every day, as every true follower of Christ does. Yeah, you heard me. Everyone who truly puts God first gets in the Word of God every day. Amen. You want to argue with Jesus? Go right ahead. Jesus said following Him is daily, or it's not at all. Luke 9:23 and 24, etc. And I tell you, by getting saturated in the Word of God and having an extra abundant time in the Word is so much more edifying than going to these harlot houses, these idol temples, if you will, and being entertained or just made to feel good through listening to somebody tell their little stories, etc., which is most of what you see out there today. You rarely see a man who preaches just the Word of God in the holy fear of God, with great concern for the people of God, pouring out his heart before the Lord and feeding the sheep of God, which means nourishing them and teaching them to discern and teaching them to get in the Word of God daily themselves and to let God be true and every man, including that guy that's teaching, a liar. We have this cult of personality. We have this idol shepherd mentality today, where we have men that don't have nail scarred hands and feet, if you will. It wouldn't matter if they did, because they're mere sinful men. But the Son of God is the one we're to look to, the author and finisher of our faith. At the meeting I went to the other night, home group meeting from that local church, Jesus's name wasn't mentioned till the last word of the whole night. Somebody closed the prayer in the name of Jesus. That was it. It was all about the pastor, and the pastor teaches this, and the pastor loves us, so he teaches that. And these people aren't following Christ; they're following that pastor, and he's a total charlatan who refuses to preach the Word of God. To give you an idea of who the man is, he had Joel Osteen come teach at his church. I mean, come on, are you kidding me? If Joel Osteen, if you don't know, Joel Osteen is completely counterfeit and preaching another gospel. It's because you either need to get saved or you just got saved a week ago or something. You have no idea what the kingdom of God is and the word of God says. So anyway, so we need to shut our mouths. We need to learn God's word, and we need to speak God's word and cease to misrepresent the Lord. Cease to misrepresent the Lord. Cease to partake with groups that just gather around to talk about how they feel about God. Oh, yes. Well, I think. Well, I see it this way. Well, you may interpret it your way, but I interpret it my way. Folks, the Bible says that the scriptures are of no private interpretation. Well, brother, 16 Christians can look at the same verse and interpret it in a separate way. That doesn't change God, friends. Every true disciple of Christ sees these central truths of scriptures the same way. They can only be seen one way, God's way. And the Bible is self-interpretive, so there's no confusion among the true remnant of God. Now, we can discuss scripture and help iron sharpening iron, but the idea of sitting around with a think tank and philosophizing and questioning God and simply throwing out notions that originate from a depraved, unregenerate heart is not true Christian fellowship. True Christian fellowship is seen in the book of Acts, where you see the early church in its pristine state before any wolves or heresies entered in, just after the day of Pentecost, when the church was born in Acts 2:42, the Holy Scriptures tell us that the believers gathered house to house daily, and they continued steadfastly in four simple things. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the word of God, which we now have in the New Testament scriptures in particular, in the canon of Holy Scripture. Hallelujah. We are to be continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the first of the four things, the elements of true fellowship, the apostles' doctrine, and then in fellowship and breaking of bread. It's great to eat together in fellowship about the Lord, based solely on the Holy Scriptures, and in prayer together. Amen. That is a healthy fellowship, not the exaltation of a man or speaking about what men say and quoting all of these men who, in most cases, the ones that are quoted are heretics, and all these programs people speak of at the meeting I went to recently. You know, they're talking about CR, Celebrate Recovery. Folks, that comes out of Rick Warren's church. Absolutely a wolf. This man is mixing and pretending that Christians and Islam are one and the same. Absolutely unthinkable heresy and error. That's unbelievable. And yet Celebrate Recovery comes out of his church. How can good fruit come out of an evil root, Jesus taught in Matthew 12? It simply can't. So run for your life. Whether you understand why Celebrate Recovery is corrupt or not, you don't need to. If it's coming out of Rick Warren, you need to flee. Rick Warren is an absolute bona fide Trojan horse wolf. If you have any problems understanding that, and that's not our subject today, anybody that's in the Word of God can see right through the man. As soon as he starts to speak, he's not speaking Scripture. Therefore, he's totally false. Isaiah 8:20 says, if they speak not according to this word, the Word of God, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. You see, true disciples are sealing the law among one another. That's what the body of Christ is all about. We gather around the throne of God, where Jesus Christ, the nail-scarred, risen Savior, is at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. We're rejoicing in Him who died, who bled, who was buried, and who rose again to redeem our wretched, wicked souls. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. That was Jesus Christ and no other who redeemed us and bought us with His blood. We are no longer our own. We're bought with the blood, the very blood of God, Jesus Christ. And we're to be binding up the testimony and sealing the law, the Word of God, among my disciples. We are to be looking to the words of the one who bled to save us. Amen. Jesus Himself, the one who bled to save us, He tells us who's of God and who's not of God. You need to memorize the scripture. In John chapter 8 verse 47, Jesus says, among the religionists of His day, of which you and I are inundated with today, religionists who don't know God, and they come in many flavors, Jesus said, he that is of God, who's of God? He that is of God heareth God's words. They're all about God's words. They have a new life. They're new creatures. They're regenerate. They've been born again, and all things are of God. That means they're of the Word of God, which tells us about God. It's God's Word to us. Amen. He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. The terms of God and not of God are in that passage, in that verse, John 8:47. I want you to write that on an index card with the reference from the King James Bible and memorize it, beloved. Those that are of God are seen and told to be those who hear the Word of God, the words of God. And those that are not of God don't hear the words of God. If you have no taste and desire for the Word of God, it's because you're not of God. You're lost. You do not know the Lord. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere, the pure milk of the Word of God. Amen. Desire. It's something you choose. Everybody desires something. True disciples make the choice to desire the Word of God, just like the servants of old and the Bereans and the New Testament believers who searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things that Paul taught were true. Jeremiah 15:16, the servant, the prophet Jeremiah said, Thy words, Lord, were found, and I did eat them, and Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, like every true servant of God, hears God's words, devours God's words, memorizes, retains the Word of God. Proverbs 4:4. David, the man after God's own heart, said, The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thousands of gold and silver. David desired the Word of God more than he desired money, the money and the riches of this world. So many people, even many listening to me right now, spend days and months and hours and years making money, running after the fleet dollar, which the Bible tells us has wings. It will fly away. It's a temporal thing. They seek out the greed and the pleasures and the accolades of this world, and they have little or no time to seek the Lord in His Word. They have time once in a while for a little devotional, something that only takes 30 seconds, God forbid, but yet they have 10, 20 minutes without even thinking about it to read a newspaper, to read a magazine article, to read something on the web of the news, but they have little or no time to seek the Lord. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The treasure of your time and your money, if it's poured into everything else except the Lord and His Word and His work, it's because you have no heart for God. You're apostate. You do not know the Lord. I know that sounds harsh, but let it be. Take the knife. Take the sword into your bosom. Take the truth and let it circumcise your heart. Repent today. Fall upon the mercy of the Lord, crying out to Him for forgiveness, for your idolatry of yourself and of everything else that comes before God in your life. You're an idolater if that's where you find yourself. Job 23:12. Job says, Neither have I gone back from the commandment of thy lips, of his lips, the word of God. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job esteemed the words of God more than even his necessary food. Perhaps we should buy into and act and walk according to this truth, this principle, where we get up in the morning and we don't eat and feed our fat faces first. We feed our spirits the Word of God. Well, brother, I got to get up early and, you know, I don't have time for... Oh, okay, you got time for everything else in this fleeting life, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, as Jesus put it, but yet you have no time for God. Well, you really don't understand, bro. No, you don't understand, my friend. If you don't have time for God, for God's Word, you are too busy. You are an idolater who has put everything else in this life before God, and you need to repent and begin to set your alarm early and get up and seek the Lord. And you wonder why you're not having success in this life. I'm talking about spiritual success, overcoming victory, dominating the sinful nature by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about success as the world defines it. Well, brother, if you were following God, you'd have money. Really? Jesus, when he walked the earth, was following God, or was he not? When they needed money, he had to go do a miracle and tell Peter to go catch a fish and get the coin, the miracle of the coin, out of the fish's mouth in order to pay the tax. So obviously Jesus didn't have a big bank account. So was the Son of God out of the will of the Father? Are you kidding me? What about all those people in the book of Hebrews? Chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, of whom the world was not worthy. They were sawn asunder. They wandered about in dens and of caves. That's all they had to live in, is caves. with animals. The only thing they had to eat was anything they can scrounge up. They were destitute. That means they had lack of daily necessities. They clothed themselves in nothing but goat skin that they had to, obviously animals they killed and got their skins, if you will, and clothed themselves to keep their body warm. That's what true servants of God suffer at times. So don't say that gain is equivalent to godliness. If you do, you're ungodly, you're wicked, you're apostate, according to 1 Timothy 6:3-5 in the King James. We're to withdraw ourselves from anyone who equates gain to godliness, according to that passage. According to Job 23:12, we are to esteem the words of God more than our necessary food or our carnal appetite. Listen, many of you listening to me are so quick and so desirous, and you spend all kinds of time thinking about where you're going to go eat, and you know, hours before you're going to go eat. You have all the time and desire and the wherewithal in the world and the money to do all that, but you have no desire to drool after God's word and to put it first before your necessary food. Folks, if that's where you find yourself, you are in big trouble spiritually, and you need to do what Hosea 10:12 says, to sow to yourself in righteousness, to reap in mercy, to break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. To break up your fallow ground, to sow not among thorns, to get away from the heretics, get away from all the worldly things, and come away with the Lord. Get away with him in private, holy prayer, in Bible study, communion. You will not make it. You are not one of the wise virgins who are keeping oil, ample oil in your lamp, and the vessel of your spirit and your body, even the presence of God, the holy communion of God. You will not make it. You are a person whom the Lord has saved in most cases of those that are listening to me. But you're like a foolish virgin who has run out of oil. You have counted everything in this world more important than God. And you are an idolater that is absolutely undone and will be weighed in the balance and found wanting on that day if you do not repent at once. Your heart has been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, and you've departed from the faith. Hebrews 3:12-14. You are apostate. You have fallen away, and you need to drop down on your knees and your face today and cry out to a holy God and judge for his mercy, repenting of your idolatry of self and your rejection of Jesus Christ and how you do not have him and have not had him as your first love. That means the first priority of your life. That means when you get up in the morning, you're seeking his holy face. You're not seeking all of the things of this fleeting world. You need to get into Isaiah 58 and do a study and do an obedience of fasting and prayer, telling no one, Matthew 6, shining up your face, clothing yourself correctly, combing your hair, brushing your teeth, and smiling as you fast. Only God knowing about it. That's why I have a problem with all of these fad fasts we see, the 40-day fast and all that people are doing together. I don't like that, folks. I know there's a few isolated incidents where the nation of Israel fasted, but Jesus said, don't tell people when you fast. The Lord lead you and teach you. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is when Jesus had successfully rebuked the devil with verbatim scripture. Jesus used scripture. He says, it is written. Now, how much more do you and I need to use scripture? The scripture is the authority and the wisdom of God. When you quote it, the devil, if you're in the righteousness of Christ, you're clearly, truly abiding in him on his terms, not anyone else's, then the authority, the divine authority of God is in you, and you will overcome the devil. That's why many of you are sick and not able to discern the body of Christ and are fallen and are weak because you don't have the word of God in you. You are famished spiritually because the prophecy of Amos is coming to pass, and it's been coming to pass for decades, long before you and I were born. It says that there would be a famine in the last days, not of bread and water, but hearing the words of God. Friend, get in the word of God. Let your heart retain his words. Proverbs 4:4. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy it, obtain it, search it, devour it, memorize it, meditate upon it. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. I'll finish with this. True success and prosperity as God defines it, and which the only prosperity that has eternal benefits, is found in Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What do you mean then? Yeah, then when you've devoured the Word of God, you stay in the Word of God daily so that you know what to do in every situation, because the Bible tells us that according to the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord, the Holy Scriptures, we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Success, true success and prosperity come from devouring and living the Word and meditating upon the words of God, my friend, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. God bless you, friend. Feel free to visit Safeguard Your Soul. There are many videos and audios and articles, posts and study guides. There's even Bible school modules, Grace and Truth. There's books, scripture-rich resources, folks, that will help you be stirred up in the Word of God. Again, safeguardyoursoul.com. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.